preach a message tonight simply called The Joy That Was Set Before Him. The Joy That Was Set Before Him. As we are closing in on Resurrection Sunday, or as Easter is known most around the world, you know, I was thinking about the cross, and really, the Lord, as I was looking at some own decisions, my own life, as I'm always trying to examine my life, and hoping and praying that it'll be in the will of God and able to bear my cross daily. I was sharing a prayer request with Pastor Wheeler, and he shared this verse with me, and it really helped me. And I was thinking, as I began to meditate on it, trying to find the real strength to die for that particular day. And I pray it'll be a strength to those that desire to follow Christ, to those that desire to pick up their cross daily. For those that don't have that desire, it won't really help, because you're not really, but maybe you'll see something about the joy that's set before him that will cause you to desire to really to bear that cross and really to walk through it. But Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse number 1, you'll notice that the Word of God does say this: "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." And I just want to, I know this isn't a new verse, but I was looking at this verse again, and I forgot I'd written down the definition of beset in my Bible. Now God tells us to lay aside every weight and the sin because it besets us. And the word beset means to surround. It also means to enclose. And it means to hem in. It means to press on all sides so as to perplex. It means to entangle so as to render escape difficult or impossible. And that would describe probably the majority of Christian people. They feel like their life is surrounded. They feel enclosed. They're walking in continual stress. They feel pressed in. And even those that desire or have the great desire to do what God wants, many times feel so entangled with things. They don't feel like they can get out and do the will of God. And God encourages us here and challenges us, and he commands us for our own good that lay aside every weight and the sin, because that's the answer for not being beset. That's the answer to not feel like you're surrounded. That's the answer so that you don't feel like you're pressed on all sides. That's the answer so you're not perplexed and confused in situations of life. That's the answer so that you're not entangled in things that make it difficult to walk and live for Christ. Now verse 2, he says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross." And now if I understand the Bible correctly here, what gave the Lord Jesus Christ the deciding factor to endure the cross was the joy that was set before him. And many times, I know there's many of God's people that actually have a desire to pick up the cross. And they really have a desire to pick it up daily, but for some reason they don't. Even though, because they despise the shame of the cross to the extent they turn away from the cross. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus, the Bible said he despised the shame of the cross. But instead of turning away from the cross, like all of the disciples did when they knew he was going there, the Bible says they all forsook him and fled. All of them. But Jesus didn't do that. And the reason, according to the scriptures, because it says, for it was the joy. For the joy that was set before him, he went into a cross that he knew was going to have shame. He knew it was going to have suffering. And so that joy must have been pretty great in his eyes. And I hope so we're going to look at the joy that was set before him tonight. And as you may have come with passion, you might even come with different joys that you see in the Lord Jesus Christ. And all I can do is look back into the life of Christ and look at the things that he desired to do and the things he wanted to accomplish for the will of Heavenly Father. And I believe that these were the things that caused him to look up on that cross and the shame and the suffering and the disgrace and all those things. You know what? I'm going to the cross. And as we think about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, of course, the death of Christ on the cross and the resurrection, as we approach Resurrection Sunday, of course, if you're not born again, you need to come to Christ. And if you are born again, it's time to bear that cross. And God would have you to look so steadfastly in that joy to where you, I can do that. Wow, I'll do that. I was singing, let's see. Heavenly Father, tonight we thank you for the Word of God. And Lord, I pray that you allow this passage and this message tonight not to fall on deaf ears. Lord, I pray that for those that are children of God tonight, I pray that somehow they'll see something in the joy that was set before Christ. And they'll desire to walk in his footsteps so they can endure the cross. Even though it's a simple fact, there's shame that comes to the cross. The world doesn't glorify us for bearing the cross. In fact, Lord, even the disciples, even those closest to the Lord Jesus Christ, did not even glorify him for bearing the cross. And Father, help us to take a message even from that, Lord, that if we bear our cross, even those closest to us, even Christians, people that would call us brothers and sisters in Christ, they won't glorify us for walking the cross. Help us to look steadfast into the joy and make a conscious decision to endure it because of what you set before us. Father, I pray tonight, and Lord, I just pray you'll help some people. Lord, I ask that you bind Satan. Lord, I thank you so many times. You've graced this church with life-changing messages. And time only tells if anyone's ever really heeded them. But Father, I believe tonight this is another one. And Lord, I pray that you give ears to hear. There's cares of this life, and there's things of self that would like to interfere with your word. But I pray that the Holy Spirit of yourself will make sure that every child of God hears tonight. And I pray that those that are without Christ will see something else about the concern of our Savior and realize it's just foolish to die in their sins. Father, your perfect will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First thing we're going to look at tonight as we look at the joy that was set before him. Number one is the joy to love. The joy simply to love. It was set before Christ a great opportunity to love and to make a decision apart from himself. Turn to John chapter 15, and we see how the Bible defines the greatest love. And we want you to think about these things and think that as you bear your cross, if you have a desire to set the cross, now we all really like to be loved, but does anyone really like to love, you know? And we see that it was a joy to love, I would say. And it is a joy. It's a joy to give and to do and to be a blessing to other people. You know, I really enjoy giving. And when I find when I'm faithful to God, I'm actually in a better position to give more. And many times when I want to do something for me, I'll say no because, wait a minute, if I don't do something for me, I can have the joy of loving someone else. I have the joy of giving. Now, in John chapter 15, in verse number 12, you'll notice that the Word of God says this. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. And Jesus, as the joy that was set before him, is that he is going to live out the greatest love that the world will ever know. And I was saying, it's just a joy to be able to do that. You know, I've heard people say, man, I wish I had $1 million. I'd just help this person, help that person. I would do this, I'd do that. If I just had this, I would do this. I would help this person. I would go, I would do this. But you can give the greatest gift of all. You can love someone. You know, I was thinking this today. I was praying about trying to write a new track. And just how, you know, every person in this world wants to be treated or wants to be loved like Jesus loved. They want them to not condemn. Jesus said, I don't. He talked to the woman in adultery. I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. They want someone to, if they're hurt or wounded or lame or halt, whatever, they want someone to reach out. The Bible says that in different again, he touched them and he healed them. They want someone to heal their hurts. And they want someone that if they're in great need, they want someone to lay down their lives even for them. Everything that Christ did, he was totally unselfish, and everybody in this world wants to experience love like that. Everybody, at some point or another, they want someone to think about them before they think about themselves. And every person wants that love that Jesus showed, but so many are unwilling to yield to love Christ in return. And I was thinking about this is kind of the irony of that, because all the problems in the world are because of people not loving like Jesus did. And just, I was just praying about trying to write a track, just kind of somehow illustrating that to where the world would see that Jesus is not the enemy, but it's Antichrist that's the enemy, you know. But the joy to love, and I was mentioning this, Mike asked me a question the other day, I guess from what he learned in Sunday school, or he was talking about, he said, why did Satan ask Jesus to make the stones into bread? And it's funny, I never really thought about it in great detail, but just clear as day, the Holy Spirit just simply said, Satan wanted Jesus to do something just for himself. And if you look at every temptation, and I was thinking about all the temptations of Christ, none of them were gross sins. As far as the ones we listed there, I mean, the Bible says he was tempted 40 days. We don't know what else he threw at him. But the ones that the scripture mentioned, none of them was anything gory. In fact, any of those things you look on the list, I mean, all of us would do those things, and we would think, well, we could, in the way modern Christianity is, we would think we could do those things, and we'd still consider ourselves pretty good Christians. He didn't ask him to be an adulterer. He didn't ask him to fornicate. He didn't ask him to do anything except for he said, command these stones to be made bread. And what's so wrong with a hungry person doing a miracle to make a stone into bread? Well, that's not what the power was for. The power was not for himself. And then he warned him, he said, cast thyself down, and the angels will give charge concerning thee. Hey, just do something just to see God take care of you. And he said, no. He said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And then finally he said, all the kingdoms of this world, everything the world has to offer, and he said, the Bible says he showed him that in a moment of time. He said, you can have all this if you just bow down and worship me. Again, something for himself. Every decision, every temptation that the scripture lists, the same one with Jesus, was simply trying to get Jesus to do something for himself, which would be the opposite of what love is. And we see Jesus here, the joy that set before him. Joy to love. I tell you, you know, it reminded me again, just with our new son here, just sometimes just holding him. And, you know, I was just opportunity to love him. And I was holding him this afternoon as we got back and just held him in my arms, you know, and I was thinking about every one of my children, different things that we've done together through the years, you know. According to my daughter, just got back on a trip and just being to spend some time and to do things with her and to love her and the trips that me and Alexa made last year, just being to love and to do things with her and things that me and the boys have done together through the years. I was thinking about when we were in Colorado on deputation, us out there fishing, you know, and just simple moments like that we just spend together and how excited we're there. I mean, you catch these huge fish about this big, you know. but it was fun because every time you threw out, they bit, you know. And just little things like that, things we did together through the years and looking at all different things and things with Micah and just going on bike rides and other things like that just to do it, just to love. And even coming to Canada and just to preach the gospel, to give out the love of God. And Jesus, as he thought, you know what, that's going to be shameful. But you know what? That's the only way I can love them. I think about, hey, the family, when they all got involved so that my wife could go to Grenade with Levon. We threw newspapers. We got up early in the morning. Everybody took their shifts and their turns, and we went through misery together. just to love. Just to do it. No, that's the only reason we did it, just to love and to give a gift and different times and all the things. Just no reason. But that's what kept Christ going. So you know what? Of course, he knew he was love. And he said, so I'll do the cross. Because it's a joy simply to love. Number two, we turn to John chapter 6. Second thing we see about Christ, the joy that's set before him, which is the joy to serve. The joy to serve. In John chapter 6, in verse number 37, John 6 and verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I tell you, that's great news if you're a child of God. If you've come to God unto salvation, God won't cast you out. Thank God for that. And verse 38 says, for I came not, notice this, I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. He said, you know what, I came here to serve. I came not to do my own will. And you know what, even though I despise that cross, and I despise that shame. But you know, I've got the joy of just simply being a servant. I think of different things, you know, when I had good employers, things that I would work and sacrifice and do because they were just good people to work for. When God gave me the best job I ever had, you know, working for a cable construction company, I think of the hours I put in just to be a blessing and encouragement. It was a joy. In the first job I had when I worked it, when I was in, I wasn't even saved yet, but when I was in university, I worked at a Subway sandwich store as an assistant manager. And I remember Christmas, I never knew this happened. My boss gave me a $100 bill for a bonus. I thought, man, praise God. And back then, that was back in, about 87. That was a lot of money back then. $100, whoa, man. And what it made me do is like, I would work hard and I would work late. And sometimes my shift was from 6 o'clock at night to 2 o'clock in the morning. And sometimes it wouldn't be done. But I clock out at 2 o'clock and I work another hour or half hour just to make it perfect, you know, because I didn't want to have the boss pay me any more than they had to. Just to serve, just the joy of serving, you know. And in different times when I get up early and stay up late for Christ, just the joy of serving. And Jesus here, he said, I could walk away from that cross. Man, that's going to be terrible. Here I am, the Son of God. Never known what it's like to be separated from the Heavenly Father. These people are going to spit on me and treat me like a criminal. These people that I loved, these people that I'm shedding my own blood for, some of the relatives of people that I healed, going to mock me. Some of the family members of the blind, some of the family members of those that had leprosy are going to yell out, crucify him, crucify him. But you know what, I guess I'll just keep on serving. You know, I could walk away from that, but you know what? Man, it's just good to serve. I didn't come here. First of all, I do my own will anyway. I came here to do the will of him that sent me. John 8, to be right just a little bit. John 8, we see something about Christ here. In John chapter 8, in verse number 12, the word of God says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So many in this world want to set a trend for people to follow. I used to be that way. You know, I always wanted to be some innovator. I wanted to be the person to introduce this or have set some new trend or something to do this. But Jesus, see, he served and he's the light of the world. And the Bible says there, he that follows me shall not walk in darkness. And Jesus understood that in his service, people that actually went his direction and followed him, he would take them out of darkness to light. They would experience a life that had the light of God. And Jesus said, you know, I could not walk in the cross. But you know, I'm the instrument that God has chosen. Part of himself. That people can be led out of the darkness. He said, man, what a joy to be able to do that. I think about those coal miners in Chile. They were trapped down that in that for I don't know how many days. But longer than I'd like to be down there. I can imagine the first... if I remember correctly, they brought in some miners from Houston or someplace in the United States who knew how to drill. I imagine what those guys felt like when their expertise technology were used to get down to that mine in Chile and to rescue those people They thought, wow, look what I've done. Look how I've been used. And they came to me and they worked and they labored, because that people were rescued out of that. I think about how different soldiers have gone into combat to rescue people and to save people. Some police officers, the honorable ones, that have gone out and probably gone into the home of domestic abuse and probably stopped some husbands from killing some wife. Or stopped their and gone in and stopped a rape in progress. And how they probably felt relieved that they were able to serve and to do and to take someone from having to walk down a complete dark road in their life. People that are foster parents. They take children out of different homes that are in difficulty because they want to have some light, and so they want to have some dark path and all these things. And they simply go in and take on these responsibilities simply to serve, you know. I was talking to a lady at the boys' basketball game last week, and she was a nurse, and I was telling her about Christ a little bit, and I said, you know, what you do used to be a calling, you know. And I said, you know, she said, you know what, I still see it that way. You know, it's not just a job to me, you know. I said, well, praise the Lord. You know, that's the way it's supposed to be, you know. And some of the things, she's sitting there on her phone taking calls from patients there and stuff like that, and just being a servant, you know. And though she could have shut it off, she said, no, I'm just going to serve. Just going to serve. And Jesus here could have got away from the cross. But you know what? He said, I'm here to serve. He said, I'm the light of the world. And God, my Father left me here as a light. And you know, as long as I serve, people can follow me and they'll be taken out of the darkness. Like a time a few years ago, we got lost up in the mountains and the park ranger came and led us out of the darkness. Amen. Hey, that was good news when we saw the light. Amen. Began to follow him and they began to blow the whistle. John 9, just prayed over to. Notice it says here, John 9, Jesus says again, I am the light of the world. But pardon me. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. And if you're a child of God, Jesus says, also, you are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men. Why would you bend in the cross when it'll turn your light off? You know, there's some soul, you believe in all of us, whether we realize that all of us have a following, there's somebody always following our example. And some of us like the following, and it's me, you know. Following is me. We like that. But see, my following I had as a lost sinner just took people greater in the darkness. And I wasn't as wicked as some, but I was just wicked enough to take people away from Christ. No matter how wicked it is, if it's not for Christ, it takes people away from Christ. And Jesus said, you know, I could do that. I could live for myself. He said, I could abandon the cross. But you know, I'm the light of the world. As long as I'm in the world. He said, man, this is a joy. I used to dream. I remember seeing Audie Murphy when I was a kid and watching the military. When I went in the military, I was going to be like him. And it used to be this movie called Rat Patrol. It came on the weekends, and these guys would be going in a Jeep in the desert. The guy would be in the back of that machine gun shooting people, you know, and he'd coming in to save the day. I thought, I'm going to be like that. I was going to be Spider-Man. I was going to be Superman, some type of hero that come in and save the day. And all these make-believe things. And God showed me, you know what? These people only save temporarily. But you know what? If you'll just serve me. Now the cross is going to cause you to be despised sometimes. In fact, if you take my cross, people are going to treat you like you're doing something shameful. Just because you're carrying a cross. And like this, people are going to mock you. And people are going to look upon you with disgust. And people are not going to want you to know, but you know what? That is the only way. But if you serve, you can be that light that leads people out of the darkness. And you'll serve people and they'll follow. John 13. That's what it says here. John 13. Jesus, again, I was thinking about this week, you know, our Savior. John 13, verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And the supper, and supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God. Now just again, another reason Jesus go to the cross, he was secure in who he was, and went to God. He rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? He knew he was Lord. It bothered Jesus to be served. I mean, Peter to be served by the Lord. You know, I was talking to my dad yesterday. It was great to hear my dad talk about the Lord. And he was saying, you know, and my dad said that. He said, so many people, he said, they expect God to bow down to their wishes. Because we were praying. We were talking about my father-in-law. And he said, so many people just have their own desires and requests. And they want God to bow down to their own will. But he said, we don't always understand what's best and what God's will is. And he said, people just expect, people want us to, how did he say it, to serve, want God to serve us instead of us being there to serve the Lord. Oh, I pray, what a blessing to hear my own dad say that. I said, amen. but here Jesus is, being a perfect example of everything. He's serving. He's washing disciples' feet. And Peter said, this is uncharacteristic of the Lord. I don't understand this. Peter said, this whole concept of having God serve me, it just doesn't make sense. Well, if we could get that today, imagine how much easier it would be to just to walk with God and enjoy Christ. And Jesus, 10 verse, Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed, needeth not to say, wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew therefore who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. Jesus knew he was Lord. If I then, your Lord and Master, your controller, have washed your feet, ye ought also to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. Now notice, we know we're talking about the joy that was said before in verse 17. If you know these things, notice, anybody got the Bible? It says, miserable are ye if you do them. Is that what the Bible says? That's what we think, isn't it? and that's what we feel sometimes because we really don't have the heart of Christ. To be a servant, just the thought of serving somebody else, it makes us miserable. Just to think about having to do something for somebody else, actually help someone, and to leave our own selves when we want people to bow down and serve us, and it grieves us. That may not be you, but if it is, then you ought to pray about it. But it's just happier if you do them. If you want to be like Christ. I see, that's one of the things that took him to the cross. The joy of serving. The joy to serve. Verse number 3, and go back to John chapter 6. Of course, this one should be obvious. Just the joy to save. We kind of talk about this indirectly for our serving, but the joy to save. And John 6, and verse 39, the Bible says, and this is the Father's will, which has sent me, of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise up at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. He said, it's the joy to be used to save. You know, so many people in this life, almost everybody here, really wants to feel like their life means something. It's amazing what we'll do to feel like our life means something. And what Jesus took to the cross, what kept him, what allowed the joy to sit before him, is, wait, again, I can make an eternal difference. That despising, that shame, that suffering, yes, daily even, daily. Because even when he healed people, they wanted to take him. Some of them kill him after that. Hey, when he cast out devils, I said, you're a devil. And they wanted to kill him even before the cross. As he did good, as he went about, you imagine this, as he went about doing good, They hated him yet the more. And the Apostle Paul talked about this. He said, yet though, he said, for I would gladly be spent and be spent for you. He said, though the more I love, the less abundantly I be loved. You think about it. He said, the more I live for Christ, the less I'm actually going to be loved. Well, we saw an example. We saw it in Jesus. And just a joy to serve. Just a joy to be used as a vessel, instrument of salvation. You know, John 3:17, I quoted it often, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus came to save. He also says he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Can you imagine God has chosen to use instruments and me as an instrument that someone might be saved? You know what? That empowers. That should be a great and wonderful thought to so many professing Christians. But it just really means very little. But that was enough for Jesus. You know, I'm going to go to that cross. I tell you, if you've ever walked in the joy of Christ, of your salvation, man, why? Why would you not want to? Why would that not compel you to be on the cross? Like I said, we like the following for us. But why not like to be followed to lead people unto Jesus Christ? But he said, the joy to save. And just looking at that, he said, you know what? I said, man, I just have to stay on the cross. I'm going to endure the cross. I don't like the shame of it. He despised it. When you despise it, means you hate it. I mean, it's not like he went on the cross enjoying every minute. He hated it. He despised the shame. But the joy that was set before him, the joy to love, just the opportunity to love, the joy to serve. You think about this. People want to love somebody, you know that? And people even get involved in a bad marriage just to try to love somebody. They think that somehow just as opportunity to love, and they'll make a horrible decision that's not by the will of God just so they can have the opportunity to live out, to attempt to love somebody. But they don't realize you got to have Christ to love, and you got to have Christ in you to really actually love. It's only through Christ making you a new creature can you actually do it and enjoy it. Because once he makes you a new creature, then he changes something on the inside. Say, I'll do that. I enjoy doing that. I'll die to self. And then once you make that, I tell you, it's amazing. Once you make that death, it's amazing how Satan is so crafty. And it's just kind of like I've told the story, like when I used to rappel. And we used to, when you rappel, you take a rope and you go down the mountain, you know, and on a rope. And I can remember, as long as I was on the edge, I'm not a person with heights. Period. You know, I don't even know how I could fly and don't bother me, you know, but I can remember so many times, as long as I was on the edge with that rope, getting ready to jump off, because you have this hand, this is the brake hand, and getting ready to jump, I'm in my knees quivering, and sometimes, here in the military, I'm trying to be a hero, right, you know, and I'm on the side of a mountain, and I'm scared to death, you know what I mean, but you know, when I finally jumped, it's like, wow, I knew the rope can control me, and as soon as I jumped off, the fear was gone. Because the only unsteady place in rappelling is right there on the edge. But once you finally jump off, then you see, well, you got control. You control your speed. And you can be going really fast. And it's funny, you can be going really fast. All of a sudden, you just put the hand on there, boom, you just stop. It's amazing how it works, you know. But and the most liberating feeling you ever made was once you finally make that jump. It was scary to get there, and you thought, man, there's no way this is ever going to be good. You're thinking, this isn't going to turn out good at all. And you finally make that jump, and you're like, wow, that's good. And I can think of so many times God dealing with me about something, and afraid to sacrifice his safe, afraid to carry the cross in this area. But the moment you finally jump, whew, the freedom comes. But Satan had you so looking at all the elements around you, cares, afraid of this. Well, what about this? What about that? What about this? What about that? Well, it might just be you live the cross. Well, what about it? That is the cross. This, to be despised, to be ashamed, and to be abused for doing right. And to be unloved for doing right. But hey, by the grace of God, with that whole crowd of people that may be against you and don't appreciate your service for God, there'll be one or two, maybe who knows how many, that will be saved forever. Amen. And that's worth it. Amen. And Jesus said, he was still glad to heal the blind. He was still glad he gave allowed the lame to walk. I'm thankful for. I still remember when we began to travel around the United States. I think it's the third meeting I preached, and down in a church in Texas. And I mean, I was in a totally racist environment, you know, and a most unlikely place for God to use a black man married to a white lady. And but I tell you, and God moved through that meeting, and God broke hearts, and two people got saved in that meeting. And if that's all there ever were, then it was worth it. If Michael Barrett, when I was in vacation Bible school, and he came to Christ, and I was scared to death. I probably preached him the whole Bible just to make sure he understood it, because I didn't want to rush him. I didn't want to confuse him. I wanted to make sure he understood what God was doing in his heart, in his life. And if Michael Baird, in that vacation Bible school, and I teach him 6th grade boys, if that was it, then it's worth it. If any, whatever one, put any name in there, if there's only one, compare all the shame, all the suffering. I was telling those guys, I'm witnessing those drug dealers the other day. Man, I used to walk in the nightclubs, and they'd raise their hands, say, Harper's in the house, and everybody would be so excited I was there, and say, go Harper, and all this stuff. And I said, you know what, that's so empty. All I did was help those people stay content with hell. Here I was, I'm being liked by everybody. And I'm enjoying them liking me. I'm enjoying them pumping me up and thinking I'm somebody. And I said, but you know what the strange thing was? I'd be surrounded by all of them. And I'd be so empty on the inside. Because I knew it was all vain. Even as a lost heathen, I knew these guys wasn't my friends. And I still willingly receive that. But oh, by the grace of God. I thought about the other day, just out there, standing on the street corner with those guys sitting on that fence and just preaching the word of God. Be used the joy of salvation. Hey, my own wife, on a Wednesday night, in our home, dealing with her about her sin, finally called her to look at herself and to see her sin the way Jesus saw it, that she might come into salvation. And others, my own children, those that belong to Christ, if we're just one of them, though I hope all of them. As I have Morgan now, and I pray for him now, and as I pray for all my children on a regular basis, that I hold him, I said, oh Father, I put my hands on his head and said, Father, help him at a young age to love you with all his heart and all his soul and all his strength and all his mind. As I pray for my children, never knowing, because only God knows their heart, but I said, God, today let them love you with all their heart, all their soul, all their strength, all their mind. As I pray for the church, today, would every church member love you with all their heart, all their soul, all their strength, all their mind. Every Christian that I know. But God, the only way, but help me to be used as influence on them. Help me be the light that leads them to you. But to do that, you know what? I have to wear the cross. But I say it's a joy when you think about people getting saved. Last thing we'll look at tonight is you turn to John chapter 8. And it all sums it up very simply. Simply the joy to please the Father. The joy to please the Father. You know, we have some confused ideas about being in the will of God and about pleasing God. And a lot of times while we don't trust and obey like we sung tonight, and while we don't completely obey God, is that we think that God is satisfied with our half-hearted attempts to get to him, you know. But Jesus, can you imagine, you know, when they said, if thou be the Son of God, come down. What if he'd come down? What if right before death he came down? That would still be more than most of you and I would have done. I mean, but think about that. When, if he did that, if he broke any of that at all, there'd been no hope. It'd all been over. Because then he said, well, we're just all condemned. And listen, John 8, verse 28, he says here, then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as the Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me, and the Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. He says, it's just a joy. I'm on this cross, probably the most important reason of everything, because it pleases the Father. It's a joy to please the Father. I think of the things I did as a young person without Christ just to try to please my Father. Just things I thought that he would be impressed with, that he wanted me to do. But you know, finally, when I really got to know him, a lot of things I was trying to do, he wasn't really even interested in me doing. And the same thing is trying to kind of true with God. We make a lot of sacrifice, do some things, and a lot of things that we do for God, he doesn't really want. We just get to know him and do what he says, it'll be all right. And many people do different things, but Jesus simply said here, you know, for the joy of pleasing his Father, because he said, I do nothing of myself. I do always those things to please him. He says in verse 30, as he spake these words, many believed on him, there again being used to save. Then said Jesus unto those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. That's a mark of the walking the cross, continuing in the word, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The joy, you know, I think the greatest joy of all is just to know that you please the Father. And it comes simply by continuing his word, pleasing him. Because, you know, if we don't bear the cross, we don't please him. Notice it said in Luke 14, familiar passage of scripture. Luke 14, and verse number 14, verse 27. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. You know, if we don't bear it, we can't, if we really want to please God, we can't fool ourselves and think we can do it without the cross. That means we can't really walk as a Christian and not live a crucified life and not experience the pain of the cross. And in the cross, as I remind, there's no joy in that. There's no elation in that, except for the joy that's set before you, knowing that pleases the will of the Heavenly Father. And it's just a joy. The only things whatever my children try to do, whatever they think to do to please me, and I have wonderful children to do things to serve me and to help me and to bless me, but the only thing I want them to do is bear the cross. The joy thing to give me joy, morning, even if it comes to the place where they have to rebuke me one day to bear the cross, that'll be worth it. That's the only thing that ever gives me joy in my heart, is them, because then they'll be pleasing in the will of the Heavenly Father, and then God will be able to bless them in every way that he can. And as you think about that, and really as a church, I mean, I think people that tithe and do whatever around here Christians are supposed to do. And guess what? If you do the will, if you bear the cross, then most importantly, if you bear the cross, you won't be doing it for me anyway, because I'm not a good enough motivation. Because you got to do it for him, but that'll please the Lord and also please me. But he said that you cannot be my disciple. You cannot be a follower, a learner. We've looked at this verse before, and Jesus understood the reality of that. It's like saying you can't be a basketball player unless you know how to dribble. You got to. But some would like to be one without knowing how to dribble, maybe, I don't know. I think they are if they can't dribble. You know, well, I've seen guys talk about trash and can't dribble, you know. And think they have a game. And you know, it's funny, you can tell them they don't have a game, but they won't believe it, you know. They'll just go out and make a fool of themselves and everything. But then they just won't accept the fact that they just can't play, you know. And I do the same thing when I do this or I do that. And I do everything in the Christian way that I think is pleasing in God's sight, except with bear the cross. I'm just as ridiculous looking as I would think, perceive them to be. And I'm not pleasing to the Father. And man, Jesus thought, my Father. Because they said it pleased the Lord to bruise him. In the midst of that suffering, this pleases my Father. I'm going to stay on the cross. I'm not going to come down. And just the joy of knowing, wow, this is what will please my Father. And you know what? The thing that compels me most is finally understanding that my estimation of being a good Christian doesn't please God. My even, quote-unquote, being better than most Christians doesn't please God. Am I, quote-unquote, doing this right or that right or not doing this sin or not doing that sin and compared to this person and compared to that person? That doesn't please God. It's only am I bearing the cross. And Jesus gave the example. He said, I do always those things that please Him. If I have anything undone regarding the Word of God, I'm sure not. I'm not continuing in the Word. Because if you continue in my Word, then you're my disciples. I can say, well, Lord, I'm just struggling with this one area. But no, I'm not born the cross, because Jesus obeyed in every way. And when I finally, and you know, and that compels me. When I finally really wrap my brain around that, number one, believing that Christ gave me the ability to walk in His Word, then something, you know, I will obey. I will die today. And I'm going to make this decision for Christ, even though it's not favorable in the eyes of man. Even though it's not favorable for my own flesh. But this will please Heavenly Father. Because this will be a mark of faithfulness. In Romans 14, I think it's verse number 6, you can write the verse down. It says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So if you're living in a way it's not of faith, it's sin. So you're not pleasing the Father. And surely I'm not going to bear the cross. And but the joy. Wait a minute. I have to walk by faith. I want to walk by faith because that pleases the one that gave everything for me, that died for me. Hebrews 11, verse 6, it said, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Impossible. And the Word says, bear the cross. The Word says, bear the shame. The Word says, bear the suffering of the cross. It says, if you don't, you cannot be a disciple. So without the cross, because that's faith, because faith comes by hearing, and by the Word of God, it is impossible to please Him. And I tell you, there's such a release when you finally just jump off and bear the cross. You're like, wow. And you know what? Another thing about that jumping off of that mountain? Nobody was there praising me for jumping off. Because you kind of just by myself on it, hanging on that rope, you know, all alone down there. But it was just a freedom, because I just overcome the fear and was going the direction I was supposed to be going. And I tell you, you think about Christ, you think about the resurrection, you think about the events of the cross. I want you to think about what kept Him there. And you know what the amazing thing about this? You really think about this? All of us, everything that compels Jesus to stay on the cross. If you've been sleeping or if you whatever, don't miss this part right here. Everything that Jesus that was set before Him is everything every person in this room does, including me, because we all love something. It's either God or it's something, and we all serve someone or something. It's either ourselves or we serve people. Think of what we inconvenience ourselves for people. It's like that verse says, he that loveth silver, I mean, seeketh God, the wisdom he seeketh silver. The things we'll do to our bodies for silver. I think of the jobs and, again, the sacrifice, me hanging turkeys and the pain and stuff I did for silver. For serving an earthly individual because we have their affection and they're pleased by us, you know, and our works pleasing in their sight. And we do all these sacrifices for them. And it's a joy. And we even forget about the money sometimes just because we know they're pleased with what we're doing just to serve them. But Jesus did that for his Father. And then to save, to feel like you have an impact. We'll do things. Oh, you think about this world. I never lived in a city like this. Hey, there's good causes for absolutely everything. You know, you can, if you want to do something, feel like you're helping somebody, just go to Walmart. Anytime they say, you want to give a dollar to this, dollar to that, everywhere you turn, somebody wants money for something so they can feel like they have an impact on somebody's life. Like the woman asked the other day, would you like to donate money to the Breakfast Club? I said, no, I have 6 children. My home is the Breakfast Club. we've got it right here, you know. And she goes, yeah, that's true. and everything, and people want it, people give all these different things because they want to feel like they're helping somebody. Save the trees, save these animals, all these different things. People give to everything to feel like they're helping somebody, except but the souls of man. And then, and so many people have messed up lives. Number one, they don't have a father to please. Or they wish they could do something to get their father's attention, their father's affection. And when they could have it all. And everything right here is something every single one of us do. And you know what, God, as he looks at you, he looks at me, he's one of two things right now. He's pleased or he's jealous. He's either pleased because you're loving him first, or he's jealous because he knows you love something else more than you love him. Because that's why you won't, that's why I don't bear the cross at times, because I love something more than him. And he's pleased that I'm serving him with all my heart, my soul, my strength, my word. He's jealous that you're serving with more rigor for silver and more rigor for the praise of men than you are just to serve him. Or he's pleased or he's jealous that you want to have an impact. You want to make a difference in somebody's life here, but not for an eternal purpose, but just so you feel good about yourself. He's pleased or he's jealous. You'll be willing to sacrifice. You'll do things for other people to feel like you can help them and impact them. But what? Not under salvation, but just so you help them temporarily in this life. Because that's what you can see. You can see that making a difference. Or, and last of all, I mean, you'll serve to please your Father, earthly speaking. But you won't serve to please the Heavenly Father. He's either pleased or he's jealous. Because Jesus said, if any man hate not his mother and father, like I said, I'm again glad for the things my children do for me. But I hope and pray that when they meet the Lord, he'll be looking at them and say, well done. You love me so much more than you did your earthly father. And again, I'm thankful for everything they do for me. But if they love the Father first, they'll always treat me right. But I hope you look at that. I hope you look at, man, I think about, again, joy just to give and to love, you know. Like the missionary didn't want to take the offering. Oh, yeah, I just got to give anyway, you know. I was praying this week. Last month, I didn't have the money, but God told me to send Sister Walker $200. I didn't even have it. But God said, do it, so I did it. And somehow the money showed up before the check cleared, so praise God, amen. God's good, you know. It's a joy just to love. You know, here's a widow, needs some help, and God just said, do it, and to love. And it's a joy to give, and to serve, and to do. It's a thing, sometimes I get up, and my children all have responsibility around the house, they're supposed to do this, so I just get up and start cleaning the house. Just make it easy for them. I know it's their responsibility. And sometimes they're tired and they're grumpy. By the way, because adults are too sometimes. and honestly, I know they just don't want to do it. I mean, hey, and I have responsibility. I don't want to do it, so I'm not casting negative light on them. And I said, no, I'm just going to do it to be a blessing. Because I don't even know who's there. I just start cleaning, just start picking up this and that, just to serve. And I thought, well, praise the Lord. And I accomplished it. Did what I wanted to do. And when I live like Christ, for those of my home that did not yet know Christ, when I bear that cross, hopefully, by the grace of God, the joy of being used to see them get saved. Those that attend here on a regular basis don't care nothing about God, that don't want God's salvation, one day, I say, wow, why was I fighting that light the whole time? That's why we're trying to lead him out of the darkness. Not just wishing he'd shut up so I could go home. But one day when they finally see that darkness and they realize how empty and shallow, if I'm bearing the cross, they'll say, I know where the light is. I know where the light is. Even you as a parent, kids want you to love them like Christ. But they don't want you to help them live like Christ. Just take the shame. Take the shame. Jesus was despised. Every loving act where you, think about it. Hey, such old school. Some of the young people think you got it rough. Hey, if you had old school parents, you know what they do? We get whipped with extension cords, all kind of different things, and we can't do this, we can't do that. Why? Because parents try to keep you from destroying your life. Oh, but I'm smarter than that. Well, no, you're not smart enough to respect your parents. So you're not going to get out there in the world and do right. All the different things we do, and this will just parents encourage us to take the shame, and they may never thank you for it. But at least they'll know what the light is. And so just be encouraged, because God put you there to see them saved. And those young people, you're not married yet. One day, when you get married, you'll understand everything. If you get saved and you actually are concerned about someone's soul more than you are about what you can do for yourself, you'll realize, wow, if you had a godly parent, wow, they were loving me. I was so unthankful to my own parents. I'm so thankful that before my mother died, I got to talk to her and say, I'm so thankful that you didn't let me do this, you didn't let me do that. I'm thankful that you used that word no that I didn't like. I'm thankful. And I'm thankful for that sewing table where my mama would pray. I think God used that to see me saved. I tell you, if I could be used like that, that brings me joy. I think of Pastor Norwood, how the Holy Spirit of God led him to have a prayer meeting on a Saturday night and say, Lord, send us some people to help. I think of all the nights Pastor Norwood spent with me. I'm sure there's times he was tired and I just drive by the church and the light was on. I get off work and I just start knocking. He probably, oh, here he is again. Now for this time, he's probably ready to go home. And he didn't want to hear from me. But praise God, he did. Amen. There's some people saved because he bore the cross. Even to send me out in a racist America where people criticize him just for being Christian, because you can't verify racism with the Bible. People questioned him and said, "What are you doing?" And some of the greatest blessings in my life because he was willing to bear the cross and not to be racist. And they'll probably despise the shame. Some of those that was closest circles questioned him greatly. But thank God that he would just, he didn't mind being a faithful servant. And it's a joy. Hope you look at the life of Christ tonight. I mean, I'm happy. I'm hoping y'all will be happy looking. Man, it's a joy to love God. Why would you bear the cross? Just a joy to love him. Because that's the way. He knows it. You don't have to guess. You don't have to wonder. That's the way. I was talking to somebody the other day. I think it was my daughter. You know, it's so hard to buy gifts for people today. You know why? Because we have so much stuff. It's hard to please anybody. You know, that's why gift cards. So people just go get what they want. Because, see, in the old days, people used to have needs. And when you got a gift, it was something that you needed. And now the gifts are just, well, I want this, I want that. I've got so many things I already have. Well, what do I really want for a gift? And praise God for prosperity. I'm not against that, but I'm just saying praise God for that. And so it's hard to find somebody a gift sometimes because, well, what is it they really want? You know, and God has shown us. And, when you do find that one thing that somebody really wants, you give it to them, man, it gives you joy to give it. And all I'm saying is the joy God is showing us through his word, what we really can give him that will give him the joy that he wants. In fact, and you can have the joy as you give it. Amen. So I want to encourage you tonight. Look at the joy that was set before Christ and walk in that same joy. And if you walk in that same joy, you'll find that the cross, you'll look at that joy and the cross won't seem so difficult to bear. Because all these things we do, like I'll close with this, again, all these things we do, and we sacrifice to love. I mean, we give our money and our time and our energy and our effort to things that we love in this world. We sacrifice our bodies for things that we love in this world. And the joy didn't even last. I think about the time when I worked and I played and I slaved in basketball and other sport events, and sometimes I didn't even win. But I gave my love to it. I served. Give my respect, self-respect away, different thing people I served. Want to feel like I helped somebody. Heavenly Father, tonight, I'm thankful, Lord, that you're willing to endure the cross.